you know, it's just a vehicle for information that people won't get through the mainstream media to filter, and people to look at it and decide what they want to think about it. And that's really the point I was making in response to Charles. I'm actually glad that he rang up, and in a way I'm glad he said what he said, because it's a very, very important point. The foundation of any tyranny is to divide and rule the population, to provide fault lines through which you can play off one side against another, one belief off against another, one political system off against another, just as they played communism off against so-called capitalism, cartelism in truth, and without telling us that the same force was actually manipulating both sides. If we are going to live in a world of true freedom, then there's one fundamental to that, and that is we have to be at peace with other people believing different things to us, so long as they don't seek to impose it on anybody and force them to believe the same. That's when the tyrannical stuff comes in.
Okay, I got to stop you. I got to stop you, David. Now, the United Nations says they want a one-world religion where you can believe whatever you want as long as you, quote, don't impose it, but then they're going to impose that view.
Yes, but I'm talking about that without imposition. I mean, how can you have freedom if one belief is imposing itself in any way on another? You can't. Freedom, a lot of people can't cope with freedom because they think freedom is the freedom to impose what they believe on other people.
David, I'm not saying that, but at the same time, you know, they arrest people in Europe now and even in the U.S. who criticize homosexuality because they say, oh, that hurts somebody's feelings and that could cause hate.
But that's different to imposing something on people. If you have heterosexuality seeking to impose itself on homosexuality by saying, we're going to outlaw it, we can't do it, we're going to throw you in prison if you get found doing it and all that stuff, that's what I'm talking about.
We have the opposite. We have the homosexuality being sold and imposed on the general public.
Well, if that's happening, that also breaks the rules of my version and definition of freedom.
Okay, David, since this all came up, because I've read your book about 9/11, I think it's excellent. I don't get into things I can't prove, which you got into in The Biggest Secret, which I didn't read. I didn't read the Children of the Matrix that the caller was calling in about. But I have to tell you that I stick to the things I can prove, and I've been highly effective at that. You're very articulate, very intelligent. You work for the BBC. You were a championship goalie. We should talk about your past. I mean, you're very interesting, articulate individual. But I've told you, on air before, that I don't think it does good in the big picture to go into things that you can't prove, add it on to all this real stuff, because then it discredits all the stuff we can document.
So what can I prove? That Jesus didn't exist?
Well, clearly the Roman historians, all of it. I mean, clearly Jesus Christ
existed. Prove to me that Jesus existed, Alex. Go.
Well, that's like saying prove George Washington did, or approved Mary, Queen of France.
I think if you go into this more deeply, you'll find that there's enormous amounts of evidence that the story of Jesus, sometimes in detail, is a story that can be found thousands of years
ago. Yeah, I know. You'll claim the Egyptians and the Babylonians have the similar myths.
Yeah, all over the world.
Well, that doesn't do it.
Well, don't accept the evidence then.
Hold on.
You believe in Jesus, fine. Go ahead. Don't matter to me. Why should me not believing in Jesus matter to anybody? Because what did we talk about earlier? We talked about the fact that in the end, all of us, no matter what our beliefs, religiously, politically, in any way, shape, or form, in the end, we're all cattle to this agenda of destroying the freedom, not just of non-Jesus believers or Jesus believers, but all of us. Surely we should put aside what we don't believe or agree on and unite behind what we do, which is the freedom of all of us to have and express our beliefs, whatever they are, so long as they're not imposed on others. And anyone that seeks to impose on me that I should believe in this or believe in that, or otherwise I'm Satan, and all this bloody idiotic, bloody nonsense, is just playing the game of the very divide.
Okay, let me stop.
Let me
add something here, David. Okay, I studied the New World Order for a decade, a little over a decade now. I've been active for a decade. And every time I follow up to the highest levels of the New World Order, they believe in Lucifer, they believe in the devil, they seek to infiltrate Christianity, they seek to discredit it. Now, in your book you write about my infiltration of Bohemian Grove. You know, you talk about that, you've talked about that on your website, you've talked about that in interviews. Now, I mean, is it not true that every time you research the New World Order, it leads back to Satanism? Well then what does that mean? Because the Bible tells me there's going to be a world leader who believes in the, you know, who is the devil and who hates Christians. Now, look, that is enforcing my belief.
Well, if that reinforces your belief in Christianity, Alex, then believe in Christianity.
Well, my own experiences have too. I mean, I know God
Fine.
Has in my life, but
Fine.
But hold on. I mean, that's a real question. You know the globalists are devil worshippers. Now, why do they believe in the devil if you're saying Jesus doesn't exist?
Well, what explain to me why Jesus existing or not existing relates to them worshipping a negative dark force, which they do. You're telling me that by necessity, Jesus has to be a polarity of what they worship. Why can't there be just another state of consciousness, a state of love as opposed to a state of hate, a state of peace as opposed to a state of conflict? Why does that love, which they are trying to destroy, why wipe out of human consciousness, why does that love have to be called Jesus? Why can't it just be called love or any other name?
Okay, David, we're about to go back to calls here in a second, and people will probably take us in 100 different directions, but I want to get back to something I raised with The Matrix earlier.
Right.
I clearly said that overall the first film gives us you know, a good analogy or a parallel to what's going on, at least psychologically and mentally, at a lot of different levels. The second one, then it gets into the Illuminati, the New World Order, and the third one, it has this terrible message of, you know, we sit down with the great architect, that Masonic term for Lucifer, and the architect, you know, the guy with the white beard, you know, the shaman archetype, sits there and tells us, look, you're going to destroy everything if you do this. Some people want the Matrix. You can have, you know, your free will in this, trying to counterfeit what God, you know, what the God of the Bible says, and you've got free will. So, and then what I was going to elaborate on is that's what the Illuminati says to professors and intelligent people is, we've got to be more ruthless than anybody else, because we aren't. Other people will get this technologies, and then they'll destroy the planet, or they'll unseat our elite, join us and be part of the power structure. That's why I was saying that message is so dangerous. And do you have any comments on that?
Well, the way that we're being mind manipulated through fear is and does take endless manifestations, and what you're describing is one of them. And you know, I've met and read accounts of friends of people in high places in the university structure, both in this country and America, for instance, who are knowingly teaching and standing by doctrines and beliefs that they know to be false, because if they don't, then they're going to lose their job, and they're going to lose their funding, and they're going to lose their sense of who they are in the community. What I would say to those people is what I said earlier. At the end of your life, is that going to make you feel good about yourself? Or will you feel better about yourself if you say, I'm going to do what I believe to be right, no matter what the consequences? I'm not going to think about consequences. I'm going to do what I believe to be right. And you know, we would change this world, Alex, overnight, if people, particularly those in key places who are not advancing this agenda through awareness or design, but by just taking part in it and playing a part in it because it suits them and suits what they want. We would change overnight if people would just stop doing what they believe to be right for them in the moment and people started to do what they believe to be right. And those two things are often in total consequence, not least because of the fear and the carrot and stick society structure that's been set up, whereby if you go with what these guys want, you get the reward in money, in position, in fame, and all this rubbish, And if you don't go with them, then you get the stick. They try to stop your funding. They try to take your voice away, and they attack you in various things, IRS audits and stuff like that. Now, at that fork in the road, people have got to make a choice. Am I going to be a servile sheep who's just going to do what the master tells him, or am I going to stand up for what I believe in, express the full magnitude of who I am?
Well, I just got to tell you, David, we got to go to calls.
People have to make.
Then we got to go to calls.
Okay.
I just want you to know that I, in my own experience, see the New World Order attack real Christians. That's their real focus, and they tell you, believe whatever else you want, just don't be a real Christian. And I see real Christians at the forefront of fighting the New World Order effectively, and I see FEMA gearing up to go after real Christians. Now, a lot of people in the whole New Age movement see these neocon Christians who are totally deceived, serving the New World Order beast system, and then a lot of people in your camp see that and think, oh, it must all be a fraud. And I'm telling you,
Alex, the New Age is just another manufactured religion. You know, it's not Christianity that I don't follow. I don't follow any religion. None of them. They're just structures of imposing a belief system, in my view, and I have a right to that. But people who think something differently, if they believe in freedom and they're a Christian, or they believe in freedom and they go around in New Age bloody clothes, I'm with them. Because we need
all right,
to unite
all right, we gotta go to calls.
What affects us all, and not be divided and ruled by arguing among ourselves about whether that belief is right or that belief is right.
Okay, all right, let's go to calls here. Let's go ahead now, up next, and go to Greg in Texas. Greg, go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much. Just a quick comment and a quicker question. Mr. Ike, it's an honor to talk to you again. Last year I spoke with you on the Lou Gentile Show right before Texas City. I was able to go and see you then, and it was an amazing experience. And it's my belief that the moment that we're in, I know the time isn't real, but time is getting away from us, and I don't buy into these illusions of right and left. What can someone do to make a commitment to do their part in all this, aside from intention? What do you recommend? Because I think now is the time, and I didn't ask you this last time on Lou Gentile, but I have to ask you now, what can someone do who is committed to do their part in all this?
Okay, thanks for the call, David.
Well, I would say, Greg, that you said the word there, my experience, intent. What I found in my life, and I know a lot of other people have too, is when that you really commit yourself to something with the intent of doing it. My intent is I want to serve the cause of freedom in every way I possibly can, in the most effective way I possibly can. If you do that, what starts to happen is people, and this is what happened to me, people and events and experiences start coming into your life, apparently coincidentally, that allow you to walk that road of making that contribution to advance and complete your intent. All I did in the early 90s when my mind was blown open was I did two things. I said, this is my intent, something similar to what I've just said. And secondly, whenever my head, my intellect, says one thing and my intuition says another, my feeling, this is what I feel to do. Oh, no, you can't do that. You've got a mortgage. You've got a cat, says the intellect, which is always trying to keep us in the prison. If you follow your intuition, your feeling, then you suddenly find that life starts to put the riches in front of you. And so I started in the early 1990s whenever my intellect said, no, you can't do that, with all the very...
We got a break. PrisonPlanet.tv, folks.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to go to Paul and Jim and Charles and Greg and Randy and others. The toll-free number to join us on air is 800-259-9231. But I got a bunch of other questions and comments and discussions with David Icke that I want to go through. So we'll take calls and go back into discussion and then go back to calls. But each caller got about a minute or so, a question, a comment, something you want to get into with David Icke or myself. David, let's go ahead and go to these calls.
I'd like to come back to what I was saying before the break there, because this is fundamental to how we're manipulated, the way, our reality is constructed by external implantation of our beliefs. Basically, we're like a subject on the stage of a stage hypnotist. We're having false beliefs put into our minds, largely on a subconscious level, and then we see the world in line with those beliefs. In the same way as someone on a stage can be manipulated by a hypnotist to see an elephant in the audience, so we can be manipulated to see, you know, terrorists where they're not.
Oh, I totally agree with you. Paul in Delaware, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. It's nice to speak with you, David.
Hello, Paul.
Hi. I really appreciate a lot of your work. And, Alex, I'd like to say the definition of insanity is a Christian that believes in evolution, that believes in psychics, that believes in UFOs, that believes in reptiles, that believes in wormholes. That's insanity. Now,